Today, we're going to actually talk about happiness and how happiness is part of resistance. Matter of fact, a very important part. So with that said, I'm going to read some selected verses from Psalm 21. This is one of those messages where, particularly at our early service Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, we talk about things that are spiritual, but it doesn't necessarily have to reference God or Jesus because the teachings of Jesus are in there. And this will be one of those kinds of days. So do hear these words from Psalm 21 and soak them in, but recognize that I'm not going to be directly going back to them. That said, here now, Psalm 21, selected readings from the Inclusive Bible. Written by the Priest for Equality. As always, I highly recommend it. Doing what is right and being just pleases Yahweh more than sacrifice. The wicked are dragged away by their own violence and their refusal to do what is right. The path of the corrupt is filled with deceit, as the conduct of the innocent is upright. The wicked are dragged away. I doubled up on that. Those who refuse to hear the plea of the oppressed will themselves cry out and be ignored. When justice is done, the upright are overjoyed and the wicked are terrified. Those who seek out virtue and kindness will gain life, prosperity, and honor. One person with wisdom can storm a mighty citadel and bring down the establishment they had so relied upon. May we add blessing and understanding to the readings of these words. Last week, in between the scripture and the message, we had a short violin solo from one of our church members, Ruth Matheny, and we're going to do that again today. So, performing on violin, Giga from Partita number 3 in E major by Johann Sebastian Bach. This is Ruth Matheny on on violin. Thank you for that, Ruth. We are just blessed to have so many wonderful artists that are associated with our church in one way or the other. Ruth is a member. Not only is she a member, she's part of the leadership team, and she is an outstanding violinist. So thank you for that, Ruth. Much appreciated. My message today is entitled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the Declaration of Independence, this nation's founders named these three, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as the inspiration for the basis of our government. Those three are so important that the founders named them as unalienable rights. Actually, in Jefferson's first draft, they were also called sacred rights. Now, I find it interesting that life and liberty are listed as basically achievable states of being, but happiness is understood as something that we can only pursue, as if happiness is not a fully achievable state of being. Of course, it is important to keep in mind that having your life and having your liberty, well, they are certainly part of the pursuit of happiness. Now, despite that, part of our government is actively removing the right to life and liberty for a particular set of our fellow Americans, from limiting voting rights of people of color to defending white police officers who kill people of color while in custody. The right to life and liberty continues to be methodically withheld from that particular set of Americans. The interesting thing for me is this. While they may be able to limit access to the right of life and liberty for people of color in America, they cannot limit that group's ability to pursue happiness. If anything, working to restore the right to life and liberty for people of color in America is one way to pursue happiness. It's easy to get down and overwhelmed by the depth and horror of racism in America. Now, while we must see it for the evil that it is, we must not let it overwhelm us, even as we diligently work to right it. We must not forget the value of happiness in our lives, even in the face of evil. So today I'd like to talk a bit about the value of happiness and how it is part of resisting the evils in the world. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but the means by which we arrive at that goal. Now, I can't help but believe, much like the founders of the nation, that happiness is fairly similar to peace. For that matter, in terms of pursuing it, I believe peace and happiness are kindred spirits. That said, happiness is a direction, not a destination. It isn't a place to which we attempt to arrive as much as it is a way we go about traveling. It is a feeling and a purpose that we carry with us through our daily lives. In many ways, it's an emotional buffer that protects us from what can sometimes seem like constant letdowns, confusions, and evils of life. In other words, it is not just an important life skill. It really is an essential life skill. Now, I have to say, I in no way believe that it's possible to always be happy. After all, it's a pursuit, not a destination. However, I do believe we all need to endeavor to pursue it more frequently. So let's spend just a little bit of time thinking about what the practice of being happy looks like. To be happy, to be joyful, is to see the positive in things and to maintain a sense of hopefulness. I mean, you know it when you see a joyous person with their wide smile and their glowing eyes. It's almost like a light some people carry with them. It's as if their happiness is just as present externally as it is internally. Now, one important step in figuring out how to travel this thing that we call life while pursuing happiness, well, it is by sorting out which strategies for happiness work for you and which do not. For example, lots of folks seem to believe that having certain materialistic things and wealth is key to happiness, even though reality has shown us over and over again that wealth provides only temporary happiness, if any at all. And likewise, some folks believe that focusing on a single goal, like a talent or a job or a person, is the key to finding happiness. Frequently, though, a life lived that way can leave a person feeling empty and alone. The reality is, the answer to being happier is deceptively simple and frustratingly difficult at the same time. The difficult truth is that it is the people who consistently focus on being happy that are more naturally inclined to feel happy. Again, happiness is a direction, not a destination. It isn't a place to which we attempt to arrive as much as it is the way we go about traveling. Yes, it can be difficult. And yes, it can sometimes seem like those around us are acting as barriers to our happiness, preventing us from experiencing happiness. But in the end, most happy people recognize that their ability to succeed at being happy, even if others are legitimately working against them, rests fully within themselves. And not only that, but they also see that those who we may be tempted to see as barriers still deserve the care and respect that we want for ourselves. To be happy with others is to accept who they are, even if they choose a path very different from ours. Being a happier person impacts our lives positively in tons of ways. And I'm not just talking about how we experience our day-to-day activities. For example, a study from researchers in New Zealand and the United States suggests that a person's ability to express positive, happy emotions is actually tied to their risk for heart disease. So if you're happy and you know it, don't just clap your hands. Just show it or tell someone. Maybe both. Clap your hands. It's fine. In recent years also, psychologists have begun to appreciate the benefits of happiness and positive emotions. You see, benefits of those include everything from enhance creativity, to improve immune system function. I guess COVID has shown us how important that really is. Dr. Barbara Fredrickson at the University of North Carolina, just a bit down the road from here, is a leader in the field of positive psychology. And in response to the question of what good are positive emotions, she gives, well, several responses. First of all, it turns out that happiness broadens your focus and expands your thinking. Positive emotions like joy and happiness expand your focus of attention. When you're angry, your focus narrows to the source of your frustration and the object of your anger. She says that when you are upset, your mind is like a heat-seeking missile, bent on destruction. If you are resisting working for change, that kind of outlook tends to be met with less than helpful responses. And it also has a tendency to put you on a one-track approach and closes you off to more creative solutions. More creative solutions to your pursuit for change and justice. Now, contrast that with what happens when you get excited about something. Your mind actually opens up and there is a free flow of ideas and intellectual possibility. Curiosity abounds. And that's precisely why passion is so essential to artistic endeavors. It's also why there needs to be a high positivity ratio in the workplace if we want a high rate of productivity and a healthy bottom line. Now, on a related note, Dr. Fredrickson also says that happiness, and this is so important, happiness improves your ability to problem solve. She even suggests that when you're frustrated and you're having trouble solving some problem that confronts you, say systemic racism, what you need is a good laugh. Clearly, that's not all you need. It turns out that laughter can actually help sort of unfreeze a stuck brain. She says to think of humor as a lubricant that allows your wheels to spin, your thought process to once again move towards a solution. Now, the mechanism that underlies effective problem solving is creativity. And happiness helps. Happiness helps in the production of the brain chemicals that aid in such efforts. So laugh it up. Happiness also builds physical, intellectual, and social resources. Maybe not so surprisingly, people are more playful when they're happy. They're more interested in things like golf and tennis and biking and running. Part of this comes from the higher self-esteem seen in happy people. In short, happiness translates into fitness, stronger muscles, improved heart-lung function, increased flexibility. People also learn better. They learn better when they're in a positive frame of mind. You know, for the most part, the most effective school teachers are the ones who find ways to make education enjoyable. Laughter makes kids pay attention, and paying attention is clearly a key to learning. If you think about it, the same is true for us, like when we take a continuing education class. You kind of want a speaker who's, well, not only knowledgeable about the subject, but one who can be engaging in some way. And also, not so surprisingly, people gravitate towards positive people and away from negative ones. If you're seeking a larger social group, happiness is part of the path to it. Happy people are just more fun to be with. Nobody wants to spend too much time around what Saturday Night Live calls a Debbie Downer or a Daniel Downer, as the case may be. And here's why social relationships are so important. Warm, caring friendships provide a stabilizing support system. Good friends are validating, inspiring, and even motivational. They boost our sense of purpose and belonging. And countless studies have shown that strong social bonds are a key to a well-lived life. And not only that, when we are confronting the powers that be, that kind of support system can be essential for keeping us encouraged and energized. I'll conclude with one last reason to be joyful. In some ways, given the current state of our nation, it's maybe the most important one for me. When the world seems like it is full of hate and divisions, but every time you turn around, it seems like people are yelling names at each other and putting racism, sexism, ageism, lookism, heterosexism, and so many other isms into play. One of the most effective forms of protest is to be happy anyway, to love people anyway, to encourage others anyway. You see, those kinds of evil, those evil isms thrive when they are able to suck away our happiness. The more they get us down, the more difficult it is to resist them and the less creative we are in the way we go about challenging them. Pursuit of happiness in the face of those evils, which includes ending those evils, is a form of resistance. Ajahn Monet, a contemporary American poet, has said, "Everybody wants to get free, but what is it going to look like when we're free? We must begin to practice that now." Happiness, joyfulness in the face of negativity, strife, and division of our nation is essential. It is practicing what it will look like when we are finally free of these negative life approaches that pull us down as a nation and as a people. So, let's steal from Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. I'm not saying to count your trials joy. I'm just saying, find the moments of joy and happiness during those trials. I'm saying don't stop resisting in the places that we must resist, But don't forget for one moment that your happiness is possibly one of the most beautiful forms of resistance that you can offer. Amen.